Good morning and welcome back to Spirit Mornings here on Spirit Catholic Radio KVSS. I'm Bruce McGregor. She is
Chris McGregor.
And joining us in studio today from Nebraska City, we have the man who makes the angels sing, Father Mark Sizza.
I just love this. This is awesome.
What is it about this that touches your heart so?
I don't know. It's just like, it's uplifting. You know, it's just like, I don't know. It's just beautiful. There's just certain qualities to beauty that you just recognize it when you hear it. And that's one of the things about this, this Miserere. It's just, I don't know. It's just gorgeous.
Can't argue with that.
I
don't know. It's like trying to describe the ineffable. You know, you just, yeah. It's ineffable for a reason. You just can't do it. I don't know.
Sure.
It's just awesome.
Kind of like this whole week.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're living the original Novena week, the days of pondering and waiting and anticipating just what will happen, what is going to occur, who is this paraclete that he promised us. And here they are, they're in the upper room, and 9 days later, just like a strong driving wind, what do they call it?
Ruha!
Ruha enters the room!
Very good Hebrew pronunciation there.
Thank you.
I like that. You've been working on that, haven't you?
I have.
And the great feast of Pentecost brings about the birth of the church, really, wasn't it, Father?
Yes, and it's just, it really is an exciting time in the church, you know, just after the ascension, Jesus goes up and, you know, he returns to his Father, and then, but that's so he can send that Holy Spirit upon the church. And you see just the church in essence, you know, with, you know, Peter, the apostles, but then also our Blessed Mother is there with them, you know, praying for that outpouring. And as soon as that outpouring comes, then you just see that, you know, it just lights that fire, and then it goes and it spreads to the ends of the earth. And it really is an important time, you know, just for us to have that represented within our church again, because that's what we're doing this time, you know, during between the Ascension and Pentecost. We're praying for that outpouring of the Spirit again, so that we, you know, that same Spirit will continue to work in the world through the hearts of all who believe.
And Our Lady, of course, is so beautiful that she received ultimately that great reception of grace that comes from the Holy Spirit at that moment when she said yes at the moment of the Annunciation, hail full of grace. But now she is in the upper room assisting, guiding. What must it have been like for the Blessed Virgin Mary? Oh, can't even only imagine.
Yeah, to be waiting for the Holy Spirit, you know, for her, you know, just to be praying for that outpouring of the Spirit, you know, because her relationship with the Holy Spirit actually goes all the way back to her own conception, mm-hmm. you know, when she was conceived without sin in the womb of her mother Anne, and so that, you know, and you can see it just at various points in her life, then how that the Spirit continues to work throughout her life, you know. Notably at the Annunciation, you know, where she becomes the Mother of God. But then also, you know, at other points when you see, like, when she's given that, where she goes after she conceives, she goes and visits Elizabeth again, moved by the Spirit. You know, she goes out, mm-hmm. You know, to bring the Word of God. Already, you know, she's bringing the Gospel of Jesus Christ to others. And then at the foot of the cross, you know, again, cooperating with that work of the Spirit in the birth of the church. And so Mary's whole life was really, it really was touched by the Holy Spirit in a very unique way. But it also, when we look at her life, we can also understand some of the things about how the Holy Spirit wants to work in our lives and how we are called to respond and to cooperate with those graces of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing. Just the activity of God in our lives through that gift of himself, the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. And I know that is difficult for some people to really truly appreciate. I mean, it's a mystery, isn't it? But we get glimpses of it, don't we?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's harder to, like, for the Holy Spirit, it's hard to maybe see the personal nature of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Father, we have an image of our own Father that we can kind of, you know, associate with, or the Son, we understand how someone can be begotten by a Father. But then you have this Holy Spirit that's this, you know, bond of love between the Father and the Son. You know, mm-hmm. it's harder for us a little bit, I think, to get our minds around how the Holy Spirit is truly a person, you know, that is, you know, it is a, the Holy Spirit is the love that is generated from the Father and the Son, you know, that proceeds forth from the Father and the Son as we pray in the Creed every Sunday. So, but it really is a part, you know, the Holy Spirit is that third person, and that mystery of the Trinity is really, it's really something that Jesus came to reveal to us, and it's an essential to our faith.
And Mary plays such an important role, again, because really we know the Father. Jesus says to call him Abba. And we know Jesus. His name is Jesus. You shall name him Jesus. And Mary tells us what the Spirit's name is. Holy is his name. It's so beautiful, isn't it?
It really is, mm-hmm. You know, and it's like I said, you know, saying before, you know, some of those mysteries of the faith, when you just start to think about them and you really start to ponder, you know, what does this mean? And it just, I mean, just trying to get your mind around it, you know, a lot of times you try to explain it to somebody that has never, you know, heard the faith or exposed to the faith. And you have just this wonderful, beautiful understanding of it or whatever, and you try to explain it, and it just, when you use words, it just doesn't come out, it just doesn't do the reality of it really, really justice that you have. But it really is, you know, that's something that we are praying for at this time of year, you know, for that again, that outpouring of that Spirit in our own lives, so that we can be, you know, continue to deepen our love, you know, just as Mary every day of her life deepened her love for Christ, you know, that we want to deepen our love for Jesus, that we want to continue to grow in that action of the Holy Spirit. We want to remove those obstacles within our own hearts that we have to the movements of the Spirit, so that we can really fully experience and understand what it means to be a child of God. Mm-hmm. You know, that because the Spirit has incorporated us through our baptism, through faith, to be members of the body of Christ, the church, but we're in a continual process then of being able to live out that grace that we have received in our baptism, that grace of the Holy Spirit.
And we really want to be emboldened by that too, don't we, Father? I mean, like the apostles were, I mean, here were men that were hiding, you know, behind locked doors in an upper room, and the Holy Spirit came, and the next thing we know, boom, they're out there.
Yeah. That's such a neat, the way it describes it in the Acts of the, you know, it is not yet noon and these men are already drunk, you know,
yeah. I mean,
the way it describes it, but they're just really filled with that. You know, you can just see there must have just been such joy and such excitement in their preaching when they're going out. And that's something that we want to have, you know, because when we think about it, you know, through our baptism and through our own confirmation, we've received that same Holy Spirit. And so we should have that, you know, that same kind of joy when we go out to tell others about it. You know, a lot of times we can be kind of timid, you know, and we can be kind of, you know, will they be offended or whatever? But, you know, I think if we just express the joy that we have received, that is something that is incredibly attractive. You know, if I often talk to people about that, is if you're excited about your faith, if you're really in love with your faith, and people can see how much of a difference that it makes in your life, you know, people are just drawn by that. And, you know, when we realize what we've received, that gift of God's grace, the gift of God's life to be a child of God, how could we not be excited about that? You know, it's just,
I am.
It's just, honestly,
are you, Bruce? I'm excited.
It's just,
actually, I'll tell you.
You know, and so often, you know, people are just going around and they're just so dour, and it's just like, oh, Father, you know, and it's just like, you know, think about what you've received, you know, this, you know, we've got the Holy Spirit here. And, you know, so we have no need to be, you know, sure, we're going to have our trials and tribulations in life, but, you know, there's that one passage in Romans, you know, I consider the sufferings of this life as nothing compared to the glory that God has prepared for those who love him. Mm-hmm. And so we've got, you know, we've got something just incredibly powerful. We have no reason to be dour, but that's really what's going to, that's really what draws in, people to the church and people to the faith. I think I may have mentioned that before, but Mother Teresa for the Missionaries of Charity, you know, that was one of the signs that you didn't have a vocation to be a missionary charity if you weren't cheerful, if you weren't joyful in doing the work that you, that was a sign that, you know, you may have been a very virtuous person, you may have been a very good person, but if you weren't joyful in the work that you were doing, you couldn't be a missionary of charity, you know? And so all of us, you know, we have that mission from the Spirit to go out and to manifest the love of God. And so we are called to really to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, welcome to the Joyful Noise here on Spirit Mornings at Spirit Catholic Radio. We're going to take a break for Scripture. We'll have news, sports, and weather headlines. And then we'll be back with more. We have Father Mark Sizza in studio with us today. Spirit Mornings at Spirit Catholic Radio. Thanks for being here with us today. We appreciate it. Welcome back to Spirit Mornings here at Spirit Catholic Radio with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And with us in studio today, we are delighted to be joined again by Father Mark Sizza. And Father, welcome. Glad to have you back.
Always good to be here. Yep. Lord, it is good that we are here.
All that holy music when Father Sizza's in the room.
I'm kind of liking this. I wish this would follow me around all the time. Yeah. That'd be great.
I'm sure it does. He walks into the rectory, there it is.
Yes.
Yep. Like, walks into the bakers.
Doesn't quite work like that.
I hear the instrument
goes into
of the church.
Walmart.
Father Sizza must be nearby, everybody. Right. They're going to sing.
No one air sings quite like you do, Father.
Beautiful.
Lip syncing, I think that's what it is.
It's probably good that we're not on TV.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine, I mean, if someone on earth can make music like this, you know, that is that beautiful, just imagine what it's like for the angels. I mean, when we get to heaven and we get to listen to them sing, you know, it's just, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Pull up a Barca lounger.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay there for about a million years. It will go by like that.
Well, this is the last week for the, if I'm not mistaken, for the Regina Caeli
it ends at Pentecost.
Yep. Because
then we start into ordinary time then.
And I've got the Angelus down, but Regina Caeli, I'm just now getting it back into my head. And of course, for those who may not be familiar with the devotion, it's a private devotion that's done where at 6 in the morning, noon, 6 in the evening, and then again at midnight if you're up, it's every 6 hours, you just take a moment, stop, and reflect on the great mystery, and you praise the angels and the Blessed Virgin Mary for just their role that points us always to Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, if anybody's ever been around a church where they have the bong, bong, bong at noon, they'll do the three, and then those were the Angelus bells, and they'll do the three sets of three, and that's when the people would, you know, it would call them to mind that they were supposed to be praying the Angelus. And there's a beautiful painting. I think it's in the Pietà prayer book. There's a black and white of it, but there are people standing out in the field and they're praying the Angelus, you know, at those times. It's just kind of a sign of devotion. And so I think it's a beautiful devotion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you said at the Pietà prayer book, you have one of those?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I do too. Everybody
great.
Should.
It has such awesome prayer. I love the prayers of St. Bridget. She's awesome.
I got
those meditations on the Passion are fantastic.
Have I introduced you to my girlfriend, Denise, yet?
No.
I mean, she has been praying those St. Bridget prayers, and I mean, faithfully. And there's something beautiful. I mean, St. Bridget, well, we'll have to save it for her feast day. It's coming up, I think, in a few months.
That'll be a whole nother morning show.
That's right. But there is those prayers that we say on a basis. I mean, we are what we pray. Mm-hmm. And so when you enter into that, and St. Bridget gave us so many beautiful, beautiful devotions to enter into.
Just her insights into the Passion, I think, are really, they're really very, very, they're very profound.
Well, when we talk about profound, there's nothing quite profound as Our Lady's role in the life of the church, especially the birth of the church. But really, when we talk about Pentecost and the fact that she is there present in the center room with the other apostles waiting in prayer, she experienced this long ago. This is not really a new moment for her, is it?
Exactly. Her whole life was really one that was in union with the Spirit. You know, like we talked about before the break, you know, her Immaculate Conception, you know, that was through, it was only through the power of the Holy Spirit that she was able to be conceived without sin. You know, that's something that, and so from the first moment of her existence, she already had this special relationship with the Holy Spirit because of the mission that God was going to give her, because God wanted her to be that his mother. You know, he wanted her to be that in a certain the Ark of the Covenant. You know, that dwelling place of God. And it's really beautiful to just to kind of go through her whole life and to see the different places where the Holy Spirit really manifests himself in her life. Another place is where you see it, as you talked about, is the Annunciation. You know, where she goes and she's, you know, maybe in prayer or whatever, and the angel Gabriel comes to her, and she goes and angel Gabriel basically asks her consent, you know, to be the mother of God. And she questions him. She's, you know, how can this be, you know? But she, the angel responds to her and says, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that will overshadow you. And the one to be born will be called holy. And she's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe done it to me according to thy word. And so, but she cooperates in that moment. She gives her consent, and, you know, through the power of the Spirit, she's able to do that. But it is really part of her yes is real, and her role in the incarnation is real. She's not just, you know, the Holy Spirit didn't come upon her without her consent. Mm-hmm. You know, her yes was a very important part of that. But then when she does say yes, look at what happens. You know, mm-hmm. Jesus is conceived, as John Paul II says, first in her heart and then in her womb. And the floodgates of salvation are really open for all of us because she did say yes, because she did cooperate with the with that grace. And we've been talking about St. Louis Marie de Montfort, and that's one of the things that he said, is that wherever Mary is present and wherever the Holy Spirit is present, then Jesus is made incarnate again. And so that becomes, in a certain sense, kind of a paradigm for each one of us in our own spiritual regeneration. That's one of the things that he kind of speculated on. It's never really been how Mary is involved in our spiritual regeneration has never really been defined by the Church. But there have been a lot of theologians and a lot of writers, you know, namely St. Louis Marie de Montfort and others, that have really kind of speculated on it and kind of thought about that, you know, because they say, if this is how it happened in the beginning, then what's to say it doesn't continue? If it happened in the head this way, then why doesn't this happen also in the members of the body of Christ that are formed into new life? And so that's another, just another example of the Holy Spirit present in Mary's life. And then immediately after that, what happens? Mary goes and she visits Elizabeth, you know, impelled by the Holy Spirit. This shows that each one of us really, we're given a mission by the Spirit to go out. We don't just keep Jesus to ourselves, mm-hmm. but we are all called to bring that grace of Jesus Christ to others. And Mary does that. She goes in, and as soon as her greeting reaches Elizabeth's ears, the infant leaps in her womb. And she says, you know, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How does this happen that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And again, that's the Holy Spirit that is working there, that because Mary cooperated with that grace, that the Church Fathers say that was the moment that John was sanctified. He was sanctified in the womb of his mother, that he was given that mission by the Spirit then to go out into the desert and to prepare the way of the Lord. But again, all of that comes about through Mary's intercession, and because if Mary didn't cooperate with that, mm-hmm. you know, who knows what would have happened? You know, would John still have gone out in the desert? I don't know. But she's there at the foot of the cross, when Jesus gives her to all of us as our mother. That's part of Mary being involved by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, to become the mother of all of us, and to become not just the mother of Jesus, but all of our mother in the upper room. You know, Pentecost. Who's there? Mary praying with all the disciples, you know, praying for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so you kind of start to get a little bit of a theme here, you know, mm-hmm. In the life of the Blessed Mother, in this work of the Holy Spirit, this action of the Holy Spirit, that both are an important part of that.
And as she prays for the Church to be receptive to that gift of the Holy Spirit and that outpouring, her work continues today. For a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and sadly to say for many Catholics, there just still isn't that appreciation of how our Blessed Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, prays for us, with us, as though we are in the upper room with her. It's a continual moment, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think one thing that may be helpful is just to realize that it's not just me and Jesus. You know, our salvation is bound up with other people. You know, that we are, we have this vertical communion that we have with God, but through our baptism, there's also a horizontal communion that I have with every other member of the body of Christ. You know, and St. Paul talks about that, you know, when he speaks about the body of Christ, he says, you know, when one member of the body is honored, all the members are honored. When one member is disgraced, all the members are disgraced. And so just like in our own body, you know, if I get an infection or something in my finger and I don't take antibiotics to take care of it, you know, my whole hand may get sick. I may get gangrene. It may affect, you know, it's going to affect eventually my whole body. And so we are all, each member of the body of Christ is important, and each member of the body of Christ is connected. And so when you think about Mary's relationship, because of her special relationship with Jesus, then her relationship with everyone else is important. It's her relationship is more universal than individuals like us. We're not mm-hmm. the mother of God, mm-hmm. you know. And so she plays a very special role in that, in the body of Christ, in interceding for the body of Christ. But again, we can see how each member of the body of Christ is important, and we are all connected to others. And so when you begin to understand Mary's relationship then with Jesus, you realize just what a special role then she does play in that body of Christ in interceding for all the other members.
I can't fathom, it's hard for me to understand a heart that does not want to be present in prayer with the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she was so intimately involved in the life of the church. I mean, she was there at the foot of the cross in the deepest moment of sorrow, but she was also there at the greatest moment of joy in the life of the church, because she was there at Pentecost. For all of us, we should want Mary present with us when we pray.
Exactly. You know, just as in any other joyful celebration, you know, we want other people to be there with us. You know, we had graduation at our school a couple of weeks ago, and you know, what do? We have a party. We invite everybody sure. to come, because this is something joyful. We want the people that are important to us, the people that are special to us, we want them to be there. And so, you know, why not invite Mary to be there with us? Why not invite her to pray with us, to help us to draw closer to her son? Because that's, you know, ultimately what she wants. She doesn't want us to honor her for her own sake. You know, she wants us to realize that what God has done through her, you know, and what God is able to work through her. Again, it's not her own merits, but it's a gift from God. But she does play that special role. And so when we can have her by our side, when we can have her with us, assisting us with her prayers, you know, it really is something that does help us draw deeper into the mystery of Jesus Christ and closer and draw closer to him.
I just love her.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she is.
How can you not love Mary?
I don't know. I mean, and for a heart that just, actually, I do know some people who are just, I hate to even saying the words come out of my mouth, but they seem to be repelled by her. Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of spirit is that? What would St. Louis de Montfort say?
Yeah, well, he talks in his writings that, you know, that's one of the signs of at the end times, how you're going to know the true believers from the false believers is, you know, is their relationship with Our Lady, mm-hmm. you know, because Mary keeps us close to Christ, and she keeps us, she draws us into his love. And if we have a proper relationship with our Blessed Mother, then we'll always have a proper relationship with Jesus. And because she, you know, she is so important in that regard.
The thing is, anybody I know that truly has a great, deep love for the Blessed Virgin Mary, they almost always end up having this love multiplies. It doesn't divide. It only multiplies. And you end up falling in love with St. Joseph. And then all of a sudden it's St. Therese. And then it's Francis. And it's everyone from Perpetua and Felicity to Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. I mean, don't get me going.
The dam is burst.
Well, I'm going. All the saints in heaven. I mean, and ultimately, that great love you share with them. And it does. All of a sudden you have a new appreciation of your family members that have gone before you. And then you realize that this great love that has multiplied and gotten bigger and bigger, it extends out onto the earth, the ones who are present, the church militant that's here now. It is ultimately love. And what is love? God is love.
Exactly. And that's a beautiful description of the communion of saints. and that again, that's what we're a part of. We are members, and through our baptism, through faith, we are members of the body of Christ, and we share in that communion with the saints and with our family members and with other, you know, those who have gone before us. And that's really what this, you know, teaching on Mary is really highlighting, is just, again, it's not just me and Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's me and every other member of the body of Christ united as members of his body by the power of the Holy Spirit to Jesus, who then takes us to the Father. And so when we can have that understanding of the role of the church and the role of the communion of saints, of how we are united with Jesus Christ, then it really helps us to understand really the need for a relationship with Mary and a need for a relationship with the saints, because we're not out here going it alone. We God has given us great intercessors, and he's given us great examples. He's given us great witnesses that we want to really that we really want to take advantage of, and we really want to realize just what a blessing it is to have them.
And the fuel for those saints was the gift of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's what's so beautiful about this great time of preparation for that great reception that is Pentecost. We should all pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just open up our hearts and let him come in. This is our time in the Colosseum. This is our time. We're on the floor of the Colosseum, folks. We were born in this time. But surrounding us in this great Colosseum and all the, it's not so much people jeering and cheering and waiting for our deaths. It's actually the great cloud of witnesses that you read about in the letter to the Hebrews. It is just the great cloud of witnesses cheering us on and praying for that same Spirit to be poured out on us continually, even today.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that about Mary, again, that we want to recognize is just how she cooperated with that Spirit. Because when we cooperate in the way that she did, you know, then that enables the Holy Spirit to be active in our lives. When we can say, may it be done unto me according to your word, then we're allowing God to work in our lives. We have to invite God. We have to cooperate, because I can say, God, I don't want you working in my life. I refuse to have you. You know, he'll keep trying to draw us closer to him, but we have a free choice. We can reject him. We can reject his grace, and we can reject his love. And so when we can respond as Mary did, then that's something that, you know, that again, she helps teach us, and she helps us draw us closer into that mystery of his love.
Mm-hmm. And it will come about in ways in our lives that we least expect it to. Because when you pour out that Holy Spirit, you think, okay, I need the gift of this, this, and this to do your will. And then he'll surprise us, because we'll get a gift. Something will be revealed to us. And in some ways, that revelation will have to be purified. That's why it's a fire, because it's a purifying fire. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it hurts.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Emotionally in our hearts, it will cause an ache. Because we don't want to give up the thing that God says is hurting us, but we want to, no, you can't be right, God, because I love this. No, you got to give it up.
Yeah, and
you know,
because there are certain things that just hold us, that prevent us from drawing into that deeper relationship with him. And if we are not willing to let go of those attachments that we have to the things of this world, or even to our own wants, our desires, because sometimes our ways are not God's ways. You know, we think that we know what is best for us, but oftentimes we don't. You know, I think about my own life. You know, if you would have told me in high school that I'd be a priest right now and that I'd be talking on KBSS, you know, I would have told you were a liar. You mm-hmm. know, that's not even something that, it wasn't even on the radar screen for me. It wasn't even, I wasn't open to it at that point. I just didn't, you know, I didn't think that that's not what I wanted to do. And it wasn't until I begin to ask God, okay, what do you want me to do? You know, where do you want me to be? And I really did my best to try to open myself up more to that grace of the Spirit, that God began to guide me and to say, oh, and then even at that point, I could see where God wanted me to go. And it was like, but that's not where I want to go. That's not what I want. And so but now I look back on it and I think about, you know, why was that so hard? I think about all the gifts and the graces that I've received as a priest. And just how, you know, nothing that I've merited, you know, pure grace from God. And I just look back at it and it's just like, wow, you know, this is truly amazing. And I think about, I almost rejected this. I almost said no. that, you know, I didn't want this. And I was like, you know, how stupid was I? Why couldn't I see it back then? But now I'm thankful that I didn't, you know.
And it is a degree of suffering that you endure. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, we don't like the word suffering. Don't tell me I'm going to have to suffer. I'll do it all. And I'll do it because I want joy. There's a joy in suffering. And sometimes when we say about that suffering, it's about becoming humble in our humility. It's in our weakness that is truly our strength. But it's, you can't get there without the Holy Spirit. I mean, St. Paul, this whole beautiful year of St. Paul, if you really entered into his writings, during the season of Easter, all the readings at all the masses talk about how the Holy Spirit helped these people. They would have plans. They want to go here, they want to go there. And then recently we've been reading but the Spirit had another idea. And so we ended up doing this. What they learned 2,000 years ago, we should be learning today, shouldn't we?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if we open up to the Spirit and we pray what Mary prayed, you know, may it be done unto me according to your word, you know, and we allow God to work and we don't put up obstacles in his way, it's just amazing what begins to happen. And sometimes it is, as you're saying, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we have to lay down our lives. Sometimes there are things that we have to give up, you know, our own ideas that we have to give up. Mm-hmm. The way that we think that God should be acting in our life, we have to give that up. And that can be a real suffering.
Sometimes it's even being willing to give up that pain. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that sometimes you may have a hurt.
We get so attached to it.
Yeah, exactly. That person upsets me and I don't like them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give up not liking them.
Exactly. And because, so we hold on to it and then we're miserable because we don't.
Exactly. Because it kind of defines who I am and I'm kind of comfortable with always being this way. Mm-hmm. But somehow if you have to give up that dislike, maybe I just might like them, then my world shifts. Mm-hmm. And you don't want it to shift. We don't like change. We don't want to shift because I've adjusted this long getting by this way.
Or even a willingness to forgive somebody. Maybe it's somebody mm-hmm. that has done something to us and we hold that grudge on and on and on and on and on, and it makes us miserable. But, you know, what the Spirit wants is, you know, for us to be free. But everybody wants to be free, but they don't want to give up the things that are holding them back from being free.
Right.
For example, that non-forgiveness. But when we allow the Spirit to work in that way, and we allow the Spirit to come into our lives and to help us to forget, you know, if we're having trouble giving up something, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to help us, you know. Holy Spirit, give me the strength to be able to let this go. Holy Spirit, help me to, you know, to become the person that Jesus wants me to be.
Holy Spirit, help me to love.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about. It's all mm-hmm. about love.
It's all you need is love.
Exactly.
Isn't that
a song,
Bruce?
Yeah, I'm sensing a Beatles
song.
Coming.
Yeah, that's my girlfriend.
There we go.
That's my girlfriend's theme song. That's all she says. That's right. At the heart, that's all it is.
That's it. Father Mark Sisa, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. Studio audience, how about Father here during the Mary month of May?
Yes, the great cloud of witnesses, studio audience, applauding Father Mark Sisa once again.
Father, love you too. True delight. A true delight. Thank you so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
And as we wrap up, could we ask you to impart a blessing upon us and our listeners?
Through the intercession of Mary, Mother, may the Holy Spirit be outpoured upon everybody that is able to participate in making these broadcasts and anyone who listens to them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. We appreciate it. God bless.